Thanks, guys and girls. You know, I really love those old Cokesbury hymnals, Tell It to Jesus and Higher Ground. They are truly some of my favorites. Speaking of higher ground, have y'all heard the story about the guy who was walking along a cliff and he accidentally fell off the cliff, but as he was falling, he was able to manage to grab a hold of a branch, and there he was hanging, holding on to that branch, and this conversation ensued with him starting to say, "Hello, hello, is anyone up there? Anyone up there?" And about that time, a voice come back saying, "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" And the man responded, "Oh, yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer." And that's when he heard these words, "Well, that's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." After a few minutes of silence, you can hear the man saying once again, "Is anyone else up there?" You know, I find the story humorous, but it is a myth that portrays a truth that many experience during their pilgrimage of faith. When you and I read scriptures and study the characters within God's word, we find that many sways with the ebbs and flows of faith. But to me, no one exemplifies the extremes of faith as prevalently as the life of the man known as John the Baptizer. So this morning, the title of my sermon is The Extremes of Faith. And we're going to begin looking in the Gospel of John and then move over to the Gospel of Matthew as we examine the life of John the Baptist. So before we get started looking at verses and going through our sermon time, how about you and I join in a prayer right now asking God to illuminate His Word for us? Will you join me, please? Holy, loving God, as we come this morning and study Your Word and study the life of John the Baptist, we ask God that Your Holy Spirit will not only comfort us, but edify us in understanding that there are experiences within our faith journey where we will have ebbs and flows of the faith, and that when those times come about, it doesn't mean that we have been removed from Your love or from a fellowship with You, but that it is a season within our own life and an opportunity to grow closer to You. So God, as Your Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the Word and the text, I ask that same Spirit, if that same Spirit will inspire the Word within our hearts today. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, we're going to begin by looking over in the Gospel of John in the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 29 through 34. Now, I wanted to ask you to join with me where it says in verse 29, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, he who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me. Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel.' John testified, 'I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. And even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son.'" And that's a powerful testimony, isn't it? And I really think that when we read those words, they may be hard for us to grasp. But John is sharing with us that he had the privilege to experience and testify to one of the greatest moments of his faith journey. And this moment was more than simply putting water on his cousin. This moment was bigger than having all the religious people of the day come out to the desert to hear him preach. The scripture says that John heard the voice of God. And this voice assured him that his life mission, the purpose of his existence, was being fulfilled right before his very eyes. You know, today we would call that an aha moment. For the Christian, this is usually an experience we can feel or see or hear the Spirit of God working in our lives. And in those moments, we are filled with elation, the certainty and certitude of knowing that God is real, of knowing that we are His precious child, of knowing that God is using us and showing us how our contribution in life are in sync with the will of God. Those experiences are experiences, at least, I don't know about you, but for me, those are the experiences I cling to and yearn to encounter more and more. Now, I know that there have been times that I went to bed so full of the presence and sureties of God that I had trouble sleeping. Those nights, my mind would race through the numerous thoughts of praise and wonderment. And the reality of my faith feeding my soul and knowing that God is real and does exist was as tangible as me touching this blessing box. But then morning comes, right? And the fullness of that experience is not as clear, not as strong as it was the night before. And it's not long, and life begins to remind me of the constant reality in which I live. And I struggle in maintaining that same level, that same feeling, I guess, of faith. And that's what I love about John the Baptist's story. You see, this prophet, the one that Jesus said is the greatest prophet of all, the same one that was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still yet in his mother's womb, this man struggled in his life with his faith. And the same faith issues that he struggles with, I believe, are the same faith issues that each of us struggle with at times in our lives. And if you don't believe me, join with me as we turn back over here to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read from verse 2 through verse 15 with you this morning. Verse 2, it says, "Now when John heard in prison about the things that Jesus was doing, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus asking, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?' Jesus responded, 'Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed in them. Happier are those who don't stumble and fall because of me.'" And when John's disciples had gone, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. And he says, "What did you go out to see in the wilderness? A stalk blowing in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in refined clothes? Look, those who wear refined clothes are in royal palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, he is the one of whom it is written, 'Look, I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you.' I assure you that no one has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is violently attacked as violent people seize it. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let the person who has ears hear." You know, what I love about that portion of Scripture is that we see a truth about the life of faith that we all can relate to. And that truth is this: regardless of our mountaintop encounters with God, when things go wrong, we all become disheartened, disappointed, and doubtful of where God is and why God's not intervening on our behalf. Listen, I doubt that prison is what John was expecting for his life of service to the Lord. And I doubt the reality of him being beheaded ever entered into his mind as that being part of his journey of faith. And when things have began to go in a way that John did not think they should be going, he began to get discouraged, disheartened, maybe even depressed. And I believe the proof is in the pudding when he asked the question in verse 3 to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" I mean, how many times, brothers and sisters, have we thought or asked that same thing? God, if you're really God, where are you? Why aren't you doing something on my behalf? I don't say this to necessarily be critical of any one person. I simply find comfort in knowing that this man who walked the earth with Jesus, who was the forerunner of Christ, shares in a struggle that is real for all of us within times in our life, within the journey of our faith. And I hope that that offers you comfort as it offers me comfort. But along with the comfort, I believe we can also learn how to respond to those times in our life when we find ourselves with our faith being shrouded in cynicism, doubt, or maybe even disbelief. You see, when Jesus sends John's disciples back to him with his answer, the message contained the answer was that was the what was needed to refresh John's faith despite his pending execution. Let me read these verses again to you through verse 4 and 6. "Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. And those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. And the poor have good news proclaimed to them. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me." You see, Jesus' answer was to cause John to search the root of his doubt. And remember, friends, God is not a visual entity to be seen. Rather, we come to know and see God through our experiences. Jesus said to John, "I'm fulfilling Isaiah 61:1, which reads this way: because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, good tidings to the poor. He has sent to me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of those who are bound." The actions accompanied with the work of Jesus, his disciples, as well as John's own disciples, were to stand as a witness that Christ is the Messiah. And that answer that Jesus gave to him in the verses I just reread for you were presented to cause John to question why he was ever doubtful in the first place. Now, let me take this just one step further. You know, the church traditionally teaches that John the Baptist was expecting Jesus' kingdom to be an earthly kingdom. And the reality for John was this: he had an expectation that was not in line with the will of God. And isn't that true for many of us when we feel at our lowest point spiritually? We've prayed, believe that we've lived such a good, holy lifestyle that we should merit some special favor with God. And when our expectations are not met, then we began to question God. Jesus reassured John of his existence, allowing John to come back to his own question, gaining understanding rather than seeking to make sense of what Jesus was not doing in his own eyes. Jesus' answer also caused John to decide what he truly did believe about Christ. You know, too many times people embrace their faith kind of like picking a favorite song from the radio. But faith is defined for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And we also know from 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we live our faith not by sight. So when our faith is spread thin, may we evaluate our unmet expectations. And in doing so, may each of us discover that our expectations are possibly more centered in our own selfish desires than centered on the desires of God, causing us to be blinded to God's timing as well as God's plan. I want to say this, and it's going to come across harsh, but I hope you hear it in a spirit of love. You not liking the way God does things does not change the truth of who God is or the instructions of how we are to live our faith. So in closing, let me say this. You know, the most significant part of Christ's answer is that it was grounded in truth. And John had to realize that the truth of God is never altered by the displeasure of our circumstances. And the reason I think all of that this is so important for us to hear today is because as we begin to journey as the body of Christ in a new post-COVID world, we will have moments when our faith is as strong as it has ever been, and then we will experience times when it feels as if it is paper thin. And the extremes of our faith will be a consistency throughout our life until we are embraced into the church triumphant or go on to glory until we leave this earth. But when we can respond to our thin times of faith by looking at the root of our doubt, examine our own unmet expectations to gain understanding, and recommit to the truth of God, we will begin to experience how that little faith that will bring your soul to heaven also brings heaven to our souls. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.